Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Hello, fellow pro wrestling fans. Welcome to the State of Pro Wrestling podcast. My name is John Fredrickson, and we are here for another jam-packed two-hour special again tonight. Got two very special guests. In the first hour, we'll have part two of our interview with the time traveler, DeLorean Diggs. And then in the second hour, we will check back in with pro wrestler Timothy Theory from the Pennsylvania East Coast area. He had just ventured out to SWE this past weekend for a tryout match and got to work a bit on their pay-per-view, so very excited. SWE, a promotion down there in Texas, been making a lot of headway, really getting their product out there, bringing in some big names. So excited to get some info about who they are and see what the experience was like for Timothy Theory. Very, very talented wrestler, very cool. Get an opportunity there, dive inside of this. Here at State of Pro Wrestling, we've been pretty busy as well. Went and checked out a first wrestling show this past weekend out in St. Paul, Minnesota. Great time, great experience. Some amazing matchups. Love the way Eric Cannon books. A lot of people I was unfamiliar with introduced to the first time. And a big fan of a lot of the wrestlers that we were able to see. But, yeah, let's jump back into it here. Not here to do any reviews or anything. But, yeah, it's just been a great weekend. Was able to catch up with an old friend of State of Pro Wrestling and got some great brainstorming, some great ideas coming. So, I hope you guys stay tuned. Keep following State of Pro Wrestling for the latest. You're having some connection issues on my end here. Hoping. Out here on the road again this week. All right. We are about to go live with our first guest here, the time traveler, DeLorean Diggs. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. How's it going?
Excellent, man. I felt bad about last week. Had the mic up, some audio issues when I tried to listen back through quite a bit of the audience. But was grateful to be able to hear your story.
Oh, no, man, it's all right, man. It happens.
I had a great time getting to follow your story so far and the conversation that we had live anyways. It was one of my favorites. So should we get back into it or what you been up to this week?
Not a whole lot, honestly. Just this past week, Midwest All Pro, we had like a little mini soft opening to promote, like to have, you know, the fans of Midwest All Pro see like our brand new state-of-the-art training center. We ran like a little for the invited guests. We ran like a little mini show just to, you know, let the fans know that, you know, like, hey, like, you know, we're definitely putting in the work, and we got some exciting stuff coming soon. And the fans enjoyed the show, and it basically was the prelude to hype up our show that we got this Friday at the first actual event at our training center ground. So it's going to be pretty exciting for that.
Interesting. And you said that's the first event that you guys have held at the training at your training center out there?
At the new one, for sure, correct. Because we ran a event training center before at one of the old training centers we used to have.
Okay.
Ooh, I'll say that was about like maybe almost about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. We did like a little test run, like Halloween show there, which was pretty good. I know Nick was, Dinsmore was very excited about it and wanted to do more of the training, the more of the shows in the training center. So I know he was looking forward to that for a long time. And after, you know, some looking around and once we got our new training center, like he, that was one thing he definitely really wanted to do. So I will say, like, it was actually nice. I mean, sitting back and taking part of the show, not only that, and just hanging back because, you know, got this new lighting machine and all that, and it's actually really pretty cool. So it's, I'm really excited for things to take off there and see where, you know, the running two shows a month is going to work out for us. So it'll be pretty awesome.
So. Exciting, exciting, man. And you guys, Midwest All-Pro running out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for those fans out there unfamiliar. But you guys run some shows out there at different bars and different venues as well?
So I know our main go-to ground is Big's Bar, which is the home of Midwest All-Pro Wrestling right now. And I know there's times where usually, like, we're around, like, when there's, like, some events going on here, not only just in Sioux Falls, but anywhere throughout South Dakota that, you know, whatever Midwest All-Pro get a chance to showcase their talent, showcase the opportunity, show that, you know, we're definitely one of the nice running promotions here in the Midwest. We get a chance to do so as well. So definitely throughout the state of South Dakota, I know, but, you know, we're – hopefully down the line, branch out a little bit more. Because I know we did one show up in Fargo at a point in time, which that was actually a real nice show. It was for Maui Madness about like 3 years ago, actually. And then I know eventually, because, I mean, Iowa is like right close towards the border with us, like Sioux City, North Sioux City. We want to trying to venture out and do something there. So, you know, Midwest All-Pro trying to make the rounds, per se. So,
awesome. Let's jump back into our story, part two tonight. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think we ended with you winning the Wrestlers Matter Battle Royal there, the For the Culture Battle Royal. What was that last
year? Yeah, we did,
last
actually,
summer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
August of 2020. Now
yeah, it was an awesome show, awesome night.
For sure, definitely historic event. Very excited. The second show coming up this year, June 19th down there in Des Moines, Iowa. Black Wrestlers Matter 2 coming up. Very excited about that one as well. But let's take in it. Let's jump back to August Culture Battle Royal victory. Where did your career go from there?
So from there, I felt as though, like, I got a lot of momentum because, you know, being, again, like, not a lot of people can always say, like, they've been the first ever to do something. And for me, being the first ever to win the For the Culture Rumble for Black Wrestlers Matter show, it kind of got me going because one of the things that I've always promised myself was to hold the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight title, which I have done. At that point, I never held the Midwest All-Pro Empire Out of Souls Undisputed Championship. So I know that was one thing that was left on my docket, on my bucket list for MAP. But also, like, one of the things I for sure wanted to get started going because Midwest All-Pro never had anyone to hold both the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship and the Empire Artisans Undisputed Championship. So in the back of my mind, I was focused on that, and we'll get into it later how it actually came into fruition. But one of the things I just wanted to do is just, like, I had, like, the rocket strapped on me. I was just ready to take on anything. So started had an attempt at the Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Championship due to some shenanigans. I didn't walk out with the championship, which was kind of like ongoing theme for the beginning of the beginning of 2020 and about a little bit after September. But then once October hit around, you can just say whether I drew the lucky straw or I was just chosen to be the person to challenge for the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship for Money Made Julian Richards. I was looked at as that guy. So at that point, I went from challenging from one title to the other title. And basically, my win-loss record when it came to it wasn't the greatest when it came to the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship because, you know, shenanigans always got involved and all that fun stuff. So I didn't end the year on the high note that I wanted to end all of that is walking out with the championship belt.
And what was it like coming up short on their goals after such an amazing year?
It sucked because it was never one of those things to where it was just like, because you always hear people talk about, like, you know, I overestimated myself. And, you know, you always hear people talk or give that cliche. For me, it was just as though, like, I know I can be that person. Because I was that person once before. It's just like, you know, what's going to stop me now? And, like, after roadblock, it kind of weighed me down a little bit to where it was just like, you know, I'm not saying, like, I'm a guy to bite off a little bit more than I can chew, but maybe I need to resuscitate things and just look at things different. I was like, maybe it's just that, you know, I gotta train harder. I was like, most of it had to do with that. Most of it was just like, maybe I just got to adapt myself, just change a little bit something in me, whether it's get that mean streak going or just – have that winning mentality, you know, like, you know, Kobe Bryant had, you know, like, you know, some of the greats, like, you know, John Cena and everyone else. So it was just definitely just trying to, like, not basically starting from scratch, but basically stripping myself of everything that I knew and try to take the right approach to it.
And how did you come back in your chase for the titles here in 2021?
So around January, due to unforeseen events, the person who was the Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Champion was Jason Strife, a great, phenomenal wrestler. He couldn't make it to the show, so at the time Nick Dinsmore decided that we're going to run an eight-man tournament to crown, you know, basically crown a new Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Championship. At that point in time, I knew, okay, if tonight's not my night, then I need to relook at a lot of things in life, basically. So throughout that night, you know, I faced the first match. Faced my former tag team partner in a crash, got the win on that. Then the next round in, faced a former champion in Chaos Lane. I mean, technically going through my roadblock, I actually faced former Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Champions throughout the night. So I faced Chaos Lane in the semifinals. And then the finals, I faced Bubba Lund and at the end of the night, I ended up having the Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Champion. So I felt as though at that point that I'm not the type of guy that makes leverages when it comes to a whole lot of things. But with me having the Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Championship, I felt as though I have that key to challenge again for the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship. And so I made an offer with the dealer man himself, Money Made Julian Richards, and the Valentine's Show, Valentine's Day Massacre. it was basically both belts was on the line, title for title, winner take all. I won by disqualification. Title doesn't change hands on disqualification, unfortunately. So I didn't walk out with both belts. I just walked out with one belt. And apparently throughout the whole thing, there was a side wager that was made between Money Maid and Amanda, basically stating that if I don't walk out with both championships that night, my lovely girlfriend and my manager, Amanda, would walk out as Money Maid's secretary, which ended up being the case. So when after everything was over, I decided to do something that I never thought I could do, and that is basically bet everything on myself in an extreme crucial way, which basically led up to one more match with the title for title. Basically, I risked it all, man. I bet it all on the red. Basically, if I didn't walk out with both championships, if I didn't come out as a new Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Champion and still retain the Empire Auto Sales title, that I was just going to be done wrestling for Midwest All-Pro Wrestling for good.
Wow, dang. What stipulations? That happened on Valentine's Day as well, you saying?
Oh, no. So basically it was supposed to happen in March, during the All March right. Mayhem show, but due to travel expense, Money Maid didn't make it. So we ended up signing a contract, and basically what the contract stated in March was that it'll happen, the show match will happen in April, and basically the fans chose the stipulation of the match, which they had choose either between false count anywhere, 60-minute Iron Man match, or a tables, ladders, and chairs match. There was going to be, like, there must be a winner. There was going to be no screwy finishes or no shenanigans or anything like that. So I had to wait 2 months to get my hand on Money Maid and hopefully get my lady back from not being Money Maid's manager. And it was definitely a point in time where it was one of those things to where leading up to it, I've always considered myself really, really good. Like, I've been good at what I do, but I never considered myself as anyone great. So, leading to that, like, the one person that actually saw me as being, like, number one, and I'm not talking about that, like, my mother, God rest her soul, she always thought that I was the very best wrestler anywhere I go. But the person I was talking to was actually Amanda. She always saw me being, like, the very best, one of the very best wrestlers, basically, in the Midwest. And she, in her words, and not if not the Midwest, then out in the wrestling business today. So it was one of those things that I've never put myself on a high pedestal. And I'm mad that it took me forever to actually look at that and realize that I can be that guy and put myself on that pedestal. Just because, I mean, it's not just her that sees me in that light. It's my mom that sees me in that light. It's all every boy and girl, man, woman that's out in attendance, that's keeping up, that's watching updates when it comes to anything through Facebook Live or Twitter or anything like that throughout social media, that there's a lot of people that just say, you know what, that guy is actually really good at professional wrestling. And it's just like one of those fires that lit right by my bottom to where it's just like, you know what, I need to start putting forth this much energy, because I was the guy that won the championship before, you know, on a very special night, a few days after my mom passed. I was the guy that went in a battle royal with a lot of talented wrestlers and was the last person standing to win the For the Culture Rumble. And it's just like, well, I need to actually, like, that guy that can definitely carry the company on his back and do what he can to provide that he can and to showcase his skills to be the absolute best that he can be.
Crazy, man, to hear just all, everything that you went through in this title chase and just how many times you've been held back, and great that you have this foundation of people that believe in you. Now, the title match finally happened. What stipulation did the fans choose?
So the fans chose, by overwhelming, about 70% of the votes voted for tables, ladders, and chairs, which a part of me felt as though that was the route the fans was going to go, because when the match stipulations was announced for the three choices that the fans get to choose, a lot of people popped for the TLC, which I figured I was like, all right, I think I have an idea what I'm going to get myself into. But, you know, sometimes you can't assume things, you know, because it can be something completely different. So I got that mindset knowing that it might be one thing, it could be another. But when the stipulation was announced that night, I just knew that, all right, this is definitely time to go big or go home. Because literally, if I don't go big and win both belts, I'm definitely going to go home and not wrestle for Midwest All-Pro ever again. And plus, like, that night was a real special night for me, just because that I knew I've never, in a natural sense, had the right homage to my mom when it came to wrestling. And, you know, like, a few people I know talked to me, especially, like, my dad. He was just like, when it came to when I first won the Midwest All-Pro title, he was just like, now, was that match dedicated to your mom, or was that, you know, a match that just everything lined up and everything was good? And I basically told him, I was like, everything was good, you know, like, I mean, things just lined up the way I wanted. So he was like, but, like, you should definitely, like, do everything you can to make your, if it's going to be your last match in that company, to make sure, like, this match is for your mom. And, like, you know, like, he was like, not putting any more pressure on you than you already need some, but, you know, like, I saw your match when you won it a few days after she died. Like, it touched everybody. It touched the whole family. He was like, but I feel as though you got something up your sleeve when it comes to that. While he was what he was translating was, I've seen your outfits, your gear, basically, and he noticed that I have this thing with my gear. For those of you that don't know, I take a lot of pride in work when it comes to, like, my gear, when it comes to my gear is getting made. My first ever wrestling gear, like, before I started my training with Nick Denver when I was wrestling in the backyard, was, you know, the basic, you know, 2003 backyard wrestler starter kit, which is basically a wife beater, some shorts, and some knee pads. When I transitioned over, you know, my first gear that I got that just spoke to me, because, you know, people always say, like, you know, your gear should represent your character. Your gear should represent you. So, like, one of the things that I am, like, I love anime. I love Dragon Ball Z. One of my favorite anime characters is Vegeta. So the first gear I got made was basically a nod to Vegeta. And then the second gear I got inspired and got made was my Superman gear. Because, you know, my mom always told me that with me being a baby in the family, that I can always be a symbol of hope. Cliche enough, I put two and two together, and I was like, you know what? Why not be Superman? Some people like Superman. I mean, depending on if you're not a Batman fan or Flash fan or anyone of that nature. But basically, then after that, one of my favorite movies, which is Avengers Endgame, I love the Quantum Realm suit. So my gear after that was inspired by that. So when he basically planted the seed on, like, how I should make some about my mom. At the point in time, I didn't know what gear to make to have be inspired by her. Constant was my mom and one of her favorite dresses that she wore. She always, if you guys have me on Facebook, if you guys have me on Twitter or Instagram, you'll see my family picture it's us at the wedding, my cousin's, my Uncle Jeff's wedding about few years ago, and it's us lined up, and my mom's wearing this real nice flower dress. It's have flower pattern designs. It's has like a little bit of like pink, red, and some orange in it. And basically, that's the one thing. Like, I knew that night she always talked about like how much she loved it, and not all that, how much of a bargain she got for buying it at Macy's, because my mom was always great when it came to like getting discounts. It's just like not in the wrestling related. Like, my mom was really great at just getting deals and just getting discounts. Like, she was the queen of discounts. But basically, I thought of that, and I hit up the guy that makes my gear and just say, hey, like, can you give me something anywhere close to this or anything that resembles this? This is my mom's dress. This is how it looks like. He showed me a pattern that was relatively close to, but it got the point across. And then he got to work on it. He made it, and that right when I sent my family, my sister, my brother, and my dad the photo, and I was like, just so you guys know, like, Dad, you told me to have this, if it's my last one, have this be about Mom. And I sent them the picture. I was like, this one's going to be for Mom. And Dad called me. He said, that's awesome that you got it like that. Like, it's cool. Like, I told him, like, how excited I was about it. He was like, you know, that's one thing about you that I appreciate about you that reminds me of your mom. Is that when it comes to some style and everything like that, I'm never going to understand it, but I see the joy in it when you got it. I can tell from the excitement when you're wearing it and, like, ready to showcase it. He's like, you know, it's you. It's her. Like, it's awesome. Like, definitely do this for your mom. We're going to be rooting for you. And then fast forward it, the match happens, and the 1-2-3 hit, and I heard the announcement that I became both the Empire Artisanals and Midwest All Pro Heavyweight Champion. And I was definitely more on cloud nine than I ever was before.
Awesome, amazing story. Can you take us more into your? Tell us more about your gear maker and that process.
Yeah. So I'll start from the beginning. So basically, my first gear that I got made was I got it made from E-Lucha. So they did really good when it came to that. Because basically, like, at the time, like, it was something that it worked for me and all that. And then, like, going into, like, I started finding out about, like, people that make gears and, like their price range and all that. So, one of my good brothers, actually the guy I mentioned earlier, Jason Strife, he mentioned to me about one of his guys that he goes through, because Jason Strife gear, I will say, is like pretty cool, like really good gear. So he gave me information for his guy, and honestly, like he made the Superman stuff for me. Real good. It was awesome. So I was like, I'm not legit talking about, I was like, I'm going to do more business with you when it comes to this, because this is actually pretty cool. Because not only that I liked it, but, like, the positive reactions I got online, a whole lot of people loved it too. So I knew it was a starting relationship. With the Avengers gear, I got it made from a company called Champ City Sports. They're really known. I got love and hate for them basically because, long story short, I never got like any updates when it came to getting stuff made from them, how long it was going to take. They told me that things got done, I'll get it on this day, and I got it like several months later. There were some kick pads that technically go with them, so I have not received them yet, so that's why I'm kind of on the hate side when it comes to them. But they're pretty great gear makers. It's just I don't kind of like doing business with them. So I stuck with my guy Arturo and all that. So because he's a guy that I can definitely say, like, hey, like, I got an idea for something. I'm not very artistic enough to, like, draw it out or design it. I was like, but I trust that you can design it for me. Like, if I tell you, like, oh, like, I want something, like, modeled off of, like, let's just say, like, Spider-Man. We're just throwing out, like, I want something modeled off of Spider-Man, a Spider-Man style. And I want to go off of, like, the Spider-Man symbiote suit and all that fun stuff. Or even being like, you know, like, I want to go model something off of, let's just say, you know, something from, something that reminds me of, like, Mechagodzilla or anything like that. Like, or heck, even Mortal Kombat, because that's new. Like, let's just say, like, a Liu Kang style gear. I was just like, this is what I got for it. Can you help me out? And he'll draw it out for me. He'll have the design for it. He's like, this is the options that I have. What do you think? And I just say, you're the artist, man. Just go ahead and make it, and I'll let you know. And I have not been disappointed since.
Awesome. Yeah, I was seeing different wrestlers when they're looking for gear, just the headache that it seems to be. But, yeah, pretty amazing. Cool that you got some go-to guys. Thanks for walking us through that process. And then, yeah, like you said, the gear – another aspect that definitely sets people apart or sets the wrestlers apart, having some nice gear and style, like you said, and how you brought that together with a tribute to your mom there at that last match, where could have been your last match as well, but everything went well. Dual champion now. Where do you go from here in Midwest All Pro?
Where I go from here is basically be that flag bearer. I mean, being a guy with both two championships means that, you know, it's more than just being doing double duty. It's just representing your brand. And, you know, I plan on representing that brand well. Definitely hearing the good people in South Dakota that are able to see it. And that means also, too, anywhere that I can go with travels permitted, to represent that, you know, I represent a company very well, whether it's wrestle again back in the Minneapolis area, Minnesota area. I would love to do that. Anywhere but throughout the Midwest, whether it's Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, anywhere East Coast, down South, West Coast, anywhere up north. I just want to represent the brand that I represent, which is Midwest All Pro. And not only that, just give everybody show that not only that I'm one of the absolute best that's around, but my name is going to be heard throughout the independent scene here in professional wrestling. Like, and that's one goal that I now strive more than anything. Like, I want to be, and this might sound like a little bit of a jealousy thing, but, you know, like, I want to be, you know, where, you know, like, Jossie is at, like, where JDX is at when it comes to, they're fighting for good old Smoke Silver for the Black Wrestlers Matter show. Like, I want to one day go against one of those two. And just any of the absolute best that the wrestling scene has to offer, whether you're trying to make an impact for Impact Wrestling, or you're a Dynamite from AEW, or all sorts of cliche and all that fun stuff. Like, I want to make my name synonymous as being not only one of the bright stars, but the future of the business.
Definitely, and I hope you the best in that journey. It's been great. Great to see and hear your story so far and the things that you've done in the business. Like you said, representing the brand of Midwest All Pro out there, being dual champion right now. Got a great, great wrestler representing the brand in yourself. Now let's talk about the Time Traveler. How did you come up with the Time Traveler?
So with the name DeLorean, it's really synonymous with Back to the Future. If anyone's living under a rock. So basically, and I might break from kayfabe a little bit, how I got the name DeLorean, long story short, my mom, my dad, and my grandmother was watching Back to the Future 2. And around the time they haven't thought of names yet, around the time that my mom's water broke, they were going to the hospital and everything like that. The birthing procedure happened because I'm a twin. I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest fraternal twin. So they were just like, all right, so the oldest one, we need to think of a name for him. Let's have it something that's somewhat common, but we'll spell it different. And they was like, oh, well, Demetrius is kind of common, so let's go with Demetrius. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So like, so the next day, we need to name something like different, unique, something that's basically not a whole lot of ghetto. Right when that happened, within a drop of a pen, my grandma said, why don't you name him DeLorean? Nobody has that name, and there's only one DeLorean that's known right now. And, you know, y'all can look up John DeLorean if you want to. Not the greatest of success stories, to say the least. But, you know, that's how the name DeLorean came about. Now, with the time traveler, basically when I came in, like, when I started Midwest All-Pro, because before then when I was wrestling in the backyard and all that, I was known as D-Lo Diggs. Just one of my nicknames attached to my last name. I thought it was clever. So I was just like, all right, I'm starting something new, getting trained by, you know, the great Nick Eugene Dinsmore. Like, I need to, like, actually come up with a gimmick name, because I was always told, you know, like, you need to come up with a name that sticks. And I had, like, an option of, like, 10 names. Might have been 11, actually. It was 10, because the 11th one, I thought of, like, the first name I thought of, it was, like, the tackiest name. It was something basically, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was something around a T-Rex. And I was just like, no, that is just, that's lame. So I was like, around one of the training sessions, I was just like, with everybody, I was like, hey, like, you know, I got some names down. Like, I'm a spitball, so I'm gonna just spitball, so there's just tell me what you think about it. Like, and I thought these names was clever. And then one of the guys that wrestled, his name was Dags. He was just like, dude, why don't you just go by the name DeLorean? That name itself is badass itself. Like, it's, like, the coolest name ever. And then that's when Nick was like, yeah, why don't you just be DeLorean and time traveler? Like, I mean, you know, the DeLorean is synonymous with time traveling, Back to the Future. He's like, I'm pretty sure you like that movie. And I was like, I love that movie. So it's just like, yeah. So, boom, there you go. DeLorean and time traveler. There you go, kid. And then I was just like, all right, here goes nothing.
Perfect. That's awesome, man. I love that. Yeah, it does fit perfect. I didn't know that was your real name as well. It is an awesome first name. It's way better than John. No.
Well, it's funny because, like, I've always, like, when I tell people my name, like, especially, like, when people see me at wrestling shows, like, well, they want to know, like, oh, like, so is Dory actually, like, your name, or is that, like, basically your stage name, or are you going by because you love Back to the Future? And, like, that's how I was like, no, this is actually my real name. Like, for the longest time, too, and I hate to say, like, I name-shamed myself, introduced myself as, like, oh, hi, I'm D, or hi, I'm D-Lo. And the reason why I did that, because, you know, I rightfully assume that a lot of people is not going to remember DeLorean, or DeLorean is going to be a too long of a name to pronounce. So when people, like, was like, okay, D is short for something. Like, your name is actually not D. Like, your name is actually not D-Lo. And I was like, okay, my name is short for DeLorean. And it was always either one or two things. It was always, you're joking. Like, that's not your name. It was either that, or it was one of those, like, I need to see your, like, a proof of, like, ID or something like that just to see if that's actually your name. And me being me, I pull out my ID, show them, and I was like, I can't make this up. There's a lot of things I can make up. This is definitely not one of them. And everybody's just like, dude, so you definitely like Back to the Future. Like, that's kind of cool. I was like, yeah, like, it's awesome. Like, who doesn't love Back to the Future?
Definitely, man. Yeah, that was one of my favorites growing up. Just the concept of time travel and everything. Very, very interesting. Yeah, man, I hope you're the best. Yeah, I feel like you are the package right here. You got a lot of things going for you. You check a lot of the boxes. Hopefully, we see your name up there on the billboard and bigger matches and bigger things to come moving forward. Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Man, I got nothing else to talk about. Yeah, like I got nothing.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we covered a lot, and I was amazed that we went the full hour last time. Grateful that you came back for part two to tell the rest of your story, and yeah, it was very cool. I'm glad we got to dig into the gear making and your style. Any other influences when it came to pro wrestling or getting into pro wrestling? You said you were kind of a lifelong fan.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love again, like, kind of reiterate, like, from the last one, like Kurt Hennig was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up.
What was it about
definitely
him?
Another. I don't know. I like his charisma. Like, he just radiated, like, if I ever want to be confident in myself and just ooze charisma, like, he was that guy for me. Like, you know, like, a lot of people usually always say, like, you know, like some people say Hulk Hogan because, you know, he was, you know, the American man in some sense. You know, some people say, like, you know, let's say, like, Macho Man because, like, that guy, or even Piper, just because, like, both of them can just talk, you know, Stone Cold because Stone Cold was that person that had, like, that badass attitude that couldn't be messed with, like The Rock, because, you know, he just had that swag, that confidence. For me, it was just Mr. Perfect because, like, to me, he was, like, you know what I mean, the name in itself, like, he couldn't do wrong. He was really perfect. And, like, when I was introduced to Japanese wrestling, Hayabusa was definitely one of them. Like, I really liked him. Like, he was cool. I can, like, honestly, I'm a huge fan of Eddie Guerrero, like, loved him to death. I mean, now man, I can go on for days about, like, I could, like, never, like, when people always tell me, like, who's, like, my top five of all time, like, I could never say, like, I can have these, like, not in no particular order, basically.
All right.
But it's just, like, I will say, like, at least mention, like, at least three that I know for sure I can put in my top five. But then, like, I'll name, all like, right, five people that's, like, on the bottom that's, like, number four, number five. That's just, like, oh, any of these, like, four or five people can easily be switched out.
Definitely. Like, 12 people tied for fourth or fifth.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm so bad when it comes to that. Like, when it comes to, like, my favorite matches, like, of all time, I can definitely name a top five for that. But when it comes to, like, like the wrestlers itself, it's just like, oh, man, like, you got to ask me something else. That's a fully loaded question.
Certainly. Yeah, I try to stay away from all those. But I'll throw it out there.
Well, and plus, like, it's like one of those things, too, where it's kind of like with just sports in itself in general, like, people have their favorites when it comes to, like, a certain era. Like, I mean, people will always say, like, Jordan's better than LeBron because of the era. Or some people, like, basically just that in general. And it's just, like, some people just, like, for what they brought, you know, in their physical prime when it came to this era, you know, one person is great over this one. Or when it comes to a certain aspect of this, like, one person is better, is, like, the greatest. Or when it comes to a person's, like, character, like, this person's, like, at the top of the list when it comes to it. So, like, for me, like, it's a real loaded question. It's just, like, you won't get a completely good, full answer from me when it comes to, like, oh, like, if you had to make a Mount Rushmore professional wrestler, who would it be? And it's just, like, that's something that I can't physically, like, name off the top of my head. Because, like, I will spit out three. I would name the fourth one. But then it's just like, oh, wait, I forgot about, like, so-and-so. So, like, I can't put him there. So, like, let me put him there. And I was like, but I love this guy's work when he, because he's, like, one of the best technical wrestlers ever. So I got to put him in. Or it's just like, this guy is really great on the mic. So I got to put him in. Like, I'm really,
certainly,
like, I'm categorized when it comes to, like, oh, if it's something, I can probably, like, name, like, a top five or top four or whatever.
Yeah, so many different aspects of pro wrestling or what makes a pro wrestler great. You can break it down into nerd out on. Maybe some other time.
Together.
We'll make some lists. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, taking time out of your week again, joining us back here on State of Pro Wrestling Podcast, letting us know the rest of your story. Much appreciated. Very inspirational. Like I said, one of the great feel-good stories in all of pro wrestling for these last couple of years. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, fans. That was Time Traveler, DeLorean Diggs. Have a great night, man. Thanks for joining us. Coming up
you
next.
You too, bud. You take care.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next in the second hour tonight, we got pro wrestler Timothy Theory from the Pennsylvania, New Jersey area. He recently traveled down to SWE down there in Texas promotion. A lot of people have been making a lot of noise. A lot of people have been having their eyes on. Checked out some of their stuff on Fight TV. Quite a few big names. Kaz XL just passed through before signing with Impact now. But, yeah, I've been keeping up with a lot of the stuff that SWE, their show SWE Fury, keeping up with a lot of the stuff that they've been doing through Hannibal and Hannibal TV. It's been great to see what he's been able to accomplish down there and the people that he's gone up against. Still holding out hope that we'll get Hannibal on here someday. Very busy guy. Been killing it, doing his thing, doing this interview thing, and at the top of the game, one of the top names on that list. That we aspire to get to that level someday and keep grinding it out, doing our thing. But yeah, maybe we'll jump into our totally own lane very soon, discussing some new ideas, documentaries, and everything. Stepping more into the video realm of things. Last year we got the opportunity for that Black Wrestlers Matter show. Was just trying to get our foot in, help some guys around the Minneapolis area who were part of the show, and see if anyone was interested in letting us shoot a video promo for them. And Leonard Literacy came through, knocked it out the park, man. Had a great time shooting with him and seeing his creative process and going through and editing and putting it all together. Definitely something we're looking to get into a lot more this year. I've reached out to quite a few wrestlers. And yeah, we'll see as things go, as we kind of jump into these different fronts. It was very fun a couple weekends ago, to get a merch table out there in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, travel out 6 hours for ACW Wisconsin, a show run by Swoggle and a few other collaborative part of his team out there. Just put on an amazing event. But yeah, looking out to get out to more events like that and some of the bigger indie events and see what's going on. Would love to travel more. Definitely, I know regionally around here in the Midwest, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame returns this year down there in Waterloo, Iowa. Very excited. The possibilities of that show, hoping we can get down there. Possibly get more merch tables set up, get out there more one-on-one time with fans. I had such a great time. We set up, we had a free make your own sign for free and some free wrestling cards, you know, take as many as you want. And a lot of people had a lot of fun. It's great to see a lot of putting smiles on faces, you know. See the families come through, the kids come through, and with their parents, and yeah, see them all having a blast. It was a great time. Reminded me of another aspect of why I love pro wrestling is being able to take my kids and go out and spend time with them and have a great time. And
let them discover their own heroes, and seeing like wrestlers are like superheroes to them, and just seeing them lose their minds for their favorite wrestler, it was definitely one of my favorite aspects of getting into pro wrestling and going to these independent pro wrestling shows has been that. And it's seeing that anywhere, you know, you remember being a kid and how crazy, I mean, we're still crazy about pro wrestling, aren't we? But back then it was more magical, I think, more special. So it's always cool being at the event, seeing kids going crazy for the action, getting all into it. That next generation, passing it on to that next generation. It's always cool talking to people coming through. Oh, yeah, we used to watch AWA, da-da-da. We used to go with my parents or whoever took them, you know, and then, you know, seeing them, this next generation, you know, they grew up as fans. Maybe some of the grown-ups, they weren't fans anymore, but they wanted to take their kids and expose their kids to it. And yeah, definitely. Been a blast going to these independent wrestling shows these last bunch of years. It's crazy to think how many years it's been. But yeah, here, let's take a second here. I'll be right back in 30 seconds. Thanks for bearing with me here. State of Pro Wrestling Podcast. My name is John Fredrickson. We are here another night. Been some exciting times in the pro wrestling world. Kenny Omega becomes the Impact Wrestling Champion. I'm excited to see what they do who will challenge him for the title. Excited to see what they'll do, how they will build this, how they will work this, how will this benefit Impact? Is it already benefiting Impact? I love their graphics for the Rebellion pay-per-view, though. Amazing stuff. But yeah, very cool to see Don Callis and everything that he's put together these last bunch of years. Definitely a pro wrestling genius in his own right. Speaking of pro wrestling geniuses, this SWE promotion, I was catching up with Timothy Theory, discussing it, and one name that came up was Kevin Sullivan. And when you watch the SWE Fury show, Kevin Sullivan's right there on the mic announcing, color commentators. So very cool to get a veteran like that insight. And the last time we talked to Timothy Theory, just to hear the long list of legends and veterans that he's worked with and learned from. I mean, training down there. And I'm forgetting the letters. But anyway, training with Gino Caruso down there. That was one of my favorite parts of getting to go out to WrestleMania week. A couple of years ago when it was over in New York, was sticking around and being able to venture out to the training school out there and interview Timothy Theory about his roots. And we actually got to go out back there to where he grew up, backyard wrestling. So it was very cool to see things kind of come full circle. It was this creepy, abandoned house now. But it was very cool to be there. It was very creepy. It was nighttime. Man, that high school party vibe, you know. So it was very cool to come back full circle and to hear some of his memories. And amazing to see how far Timothy Theory has pushed it. Won a lot of the major titles out there on the East Coast. Just an amazing athlete. Catch him on Facebook, putting in time, doing that P90X. Just ridiculous, man. I need to get on that P90X stuff if I took my health as serious as I said I did, I'd be doing that. But I'm not. I'm eating cheeseburgers and stuff. Talking about how I'm going to get in shape. But that's why I'm behind here at the commentator's table. That's why we got the utmost respect to all the competitors who stepped through those ropes. And one of those is our second guest here for the second hour, Timothy Theory.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? State of Pro Wrestling. We're out here, live and direct.
Yeah, thank you for joining us again. Thanks for coming back.
Anytime,
podcast.
That's right. Thanks for having me, man. I'm always hyped to come up on this show and cut up with you guys out here and, you know, tell you what's going on out in my neck of the woods, you know.
Oh, yeah. How's it been going out there in the Poconos?
Oh, man, things are all right. It's starting to get a little warm out here, so I'm hyped. We can start doing more workouts since, you know, I'm not down there freezing in the basement. You know, I was down there doing the P90X before, and it's been pretty cold down there, so, you know, I'm a little more hype and anticipating doing my workouts now because it's nicer. I don't got to worry about having a space heater on to keep, you know, keep myself from freezing and all that, but... You know, real hype for the nice weather out here in the Pocono. It's always nice summertime, summer weather. It's great. Can't beat it, you know.
Awesome, man.
How's everything been without you out there, bro?
It's been all right, man. We've been making the most of it. We got to travel out to St. Paul this last weekend and catch a pro wrestling show. Promotion run by Eric Cannon out here, but top-notch, always a top-notch show. It was great to get back out and catch some action, man. It's been crazy busy. It felt like we were just talking, and I think it's been almost a month since the last time we talked. But
true.
Time's been flying by.
My bad. What were we saying? There's a little bit of a delay on the line. I feel like I feel like I'm like talking right at you, and a little bit of a time difference, but it's all good.
For sure. Sometimes, yeah, especially with the distance like we got, there's a little delay on the line.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of slow. I talk real slow sometimes. But you were busy this last weekend behind your journey.
Sure, man, I was out there. SW Fury, you had the Spring Stampede, which was it was awesome, man. My first time out in Texas, really. And you know, I was out there early on. They had this this boot camp dog, you know, pretty much the dog pound out there. It's Rodney Mack. He's got this whole school out there in San Antonio, Texas, and they had this deal going on. It's like a little dog pound training camp / boot camp they were doing. I went out there and, you know what I'm saying, I did pretty well, had a great time. You know, those guys out there like Rob Price from WCCW and Kevin Sullivan and Rodney Mack, they all liked what I did out there. So that was awesome, you know, and getting to prove myself out there in Texas, you know, different style. It's different market, different environment for Tim Theory. But I've always adapted to change, and, you know, I'm real comfortable being uncomfortable and stepping out of my comfort zone and, you know, breaking out of the shell, breaking through the glass ceiling, breaking through the walls, breaking through, you know, breaking down doors, man, getting the door down top. You know what time it is, bro, Tim Theory. So, you know, I have fun out there, man. We're out there and did what I had to do as part of the show, helping out, doing what they needed. You know, I had to go out and kind of be damage control for Selena David Renner getting put through a table by this blood hunter, man, savage Texas champion out there. You know, and Sabu went out, you know, threw a couple chairs at him. All chaos broke loose. Had to try to separate him from that, you know, that whole debacle, which is insanity in its finest. Man, he busted Blood Hunter open the front of the forehead and the back, you know, and blood was flowing. And he was seeing red, you know, and at one point he was about to put Sabu through a table, and Selena ordered Blood Hunter to powerbomb her onto Sabu through the table. But at the last second, you know, Sabu moved out the way. And unfortunately, she went through the table. So I'm out there trying to make sure she's all right, getting to the back, you know. Oh, man, that didn't make Bloodhound too happy, you know. Just put it like that. If you saw the footage, you know, you can go back on Fight Network and check it all out, what happened. But, man, I feel like it caved my chest in. It's pretty big dude. So, you know, I had to get up out of there. And then later on, I came back out during the main event. They had the strap match. And, you know, I ended up having to stop the chaos once again, you know, as referees were getting thrown over the place, you know, beat down. And, you know, Teddy Long was telling me to get out there and try to restore order while he goes out to the mic and says a few things and talks about what's going to happen for the next show. So, I mean, it was overall good time for me, good experience. And, you know, go back out there on the 22nd of May and see what happens, see what we can do out there in Texas. You know, it's nice and warm out there. You know, I was definitely loving the weather out there, and it was a big packed house, man, sold out. You know, and it's all pay-per-view on the TV. It's just like, man, such a big show.
The pay-per-view event is huge, man. Get up there. What did you think of the promotion as a whole?
Well, I think it's great. I think they got a lot of good wrestlers there. I mean, a lot of people from TV that you guys might know. There was, I got to say, Sabu was there. They had Melina from WWE. Remember Eminem? They had Big Cass, which is Cass XL. You know, he just made his, Impact Wrestling debut the following night, right? And then,
yeah,
I'm saying, Blood Hunter and Selena De La Renna. You know, I always thought Selena was money from the day I met her, you know, and she just, like, she doesn't cease to amaze me and, like, surprise me with some stuff she does, like the battle rap she did with Alicia Tout. And I was like, that was so great, you know. Sorry, Alicia, she died, you know, tell everybody that, you know what I mean? But, you know, man, it was just, you know, it was so cool getting to meet guys like Mark Henry, Theodore Long, you know, Gangrel was out there. I mean, it was man, they brought out all the big players, man. They had Chrissy James versus Renee Michelle, and yeah, it was just, man, top to bottom, like, super stacked card. You know, that's running to Ronnie Mack and Jazz, which last time I saw Ronnie Mack was when I wrestled for the NWA Big Apple shows out here in New Jersey. You know, and it's good to see them again. And, you know, they had Kevin Sullivan out there, James Beard, and, you know, all these, you know, legends in the area that they want to bring back. And traditional old school Texas style wrestling, which, you know, it's professional wrestling, not so much the sports entertainment, but more so that hard hitting, you know, Southern style. And they have the rules that, you know, it's like stuff that, you know, wrestling these days, you know, there's people doing hardcore matches all over the place and all these crazy match styles, but this is more so focused on sticking to the basics and, you know, what wrestling was founded on. You know, I met Lacey Von Erich out there, too, and she was awesome. You know, like, getting to meet her was, like, it was really cool because she was just, from the minute I saw her when she walked in the door, she was really, really kind to me. And, you know, I really stood out. And yeah, I was on her Lacey VETV, our YouTube channel. you know, just I got to meet a lot of cool people out there, and they all seemed to like me, so that was, really refreshing, you know, from stepping away from, you know, what I do usually out here in this area, and changing up my environment, my scenery, and, you know, just getting out there, you know, making moves and trying to, you know, dip my feet in the, you know, the waters of different areas, you know, and see what opportunities I can create for myself, you know, and that's what we do in wrestling, you know, just trying to branch out and see how we work in different equations and, you know, different scenarios. So I had fun out there. I had a lot of fun.
Very cool, man. Very awesome to get out there. Yeah, like you said, work a different area, work a different territory, and just the different styles that are out there, the slightly different, the way they work and everything. And like you said, how they try to present pro wrestling, or how everybody presents pro wrestling is a little bit different, what everybody's idea of pro wrestling is.
You want to know something else that's pretty cool?
What's that?
You know, you remember Shawn Michaels had the Texas Wrestling Academy out there in Texas?
All right.
His own school. So,
yeah.
Rudy Gonzalez was out there, and, you know, he was part of this whole little camp deal they're doing. It was cool because, you know, he was giving out pointers and advice and critique on everybody's, like, trial matches and things like that. And, you know, I always liked Shawn Michaels' style and how he was, you know, involved with his school and everything, so it was really cool to get to meet him and, you know, get some advice and feedback on some stuff from him out there. And, you know, I like to you know, learn more from him. Actually, that was like another little highlight, you know, of my time, you know, getting to learn a couple of different, you know, holds and like ways to get into different, you know, chain wrestling holds from Rob Price, you know, from WCCW. That was really cool. The last stuff that stood out that he showed me that was different, that, you know, I was like, wow, this is really cool, you know. And a lot of good talent that was out there. There were, you know, it's all like at least 70 people trying to try out and make their, you know, make their mark and get a name out there. And
wow.
They ended up using a few people for the show, just a few people, so. You know, I was thankful for, you know, the opportunity and being a part of it, you know, and just trying to get myself out there in Texas and, you know, see what they think of me and see, I guess, what, you know, what the Texas scene offers is a lot, you know, compared to what I'm used to out here in the Jersey scene. It's a little different, you know, and, you know what, maybe it's time for Tim Theory to step out of the East Coast, you know, scene and go into a different region of the United States for a little bit. See how things go.
All right. That's something you've been thinking about since being out there.
Absolutely. I'm like, at first I was like, you know, let's see what this has. You know, what I want to see how this is all running. See if it's
all right.
Different from what I know, and try to see how I adapt to it. And then once I got involved in it, seeing how everybody showed love and everything, I was like, you know what? I think I need to, you know, pull the trigger and get myself out here, you know. And I've been out here in the East Coast doing shows in New York, Jersey, Connecticut, you know, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, you know, Illinois, whatever, all these different places. So I think it's time to get myself more, you know, what would that be, like, Southwest? Would that be, like, you know, like, that's West Coast, right? Texas? Is that, like, I don't know.
Southwest,
really. Southwest, right?
Yeah, there's Southwest right now, yeah.
Definitely Southwest compared to me. I'm Northeast, so, you know.
For sure, man. But, yeah, to be able to put yourself out there in different situations and whatnot. But, yeah, Texas. Yeah, you mentioned Lacey Von Erich with the Von Erichs, the great history down there in Texas.
She had her,
you know,
dad's ring jacket, actually. You know, she had her ring jacket there, and you know, she was like, her dad's ring jacket, she was showing the fans and letting the fans take pictures with it. I thought that was really cool, you know, because, like, the history, like you were saying, they all, so many fans that I met out there that were like, oh, we know so much about Texas wrestling and we grew up on it, and, you know, this is all, like, they're like, breeding grounds and Mecca and all that. And I'm like, man, like, where I'm from, I was more like, you know, ECW, WWF, WCW, whatever. It's like our area was like primarily based on whatever. But being in Texas, you know, getting to see how fans really get behind the wrestling out there, it was cool, man. They're all into it. They're, you know, like the crowd spoke for itself. Look how, you should saw pictures, see how many people were out there, man. It's packed. You know, it was good.
Yeah,
time.
They've been really making waves, getting attention, getting themselves out there. Yeah, like the stuff, and they're putting on their own pay-per-view. That's freaking huge.
Yeah, they got stuff on the Fight TV, Fight Network, whatever, and they got CW Network, CW 33 out there in Texas. They got this show that plays at 10 o'clock, and, you know, they got a lot of big names out there, man. Shelby Haas is a champion out there, you know. Some of those tag team with something Benz, man. He was out there. He called out Logan and Jake Paul, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's going down. What a sad dude, Charlie Haas, man. So, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Not taking away anything from Logan and Jake Paul, and, what, you know, they're doing their thing, whatever, but Charlie Haas calling them out, man. I don't know, man. They're very careful, you know what I'm saying?
Awesome, man.
Charlie
yeah,
Haas, you make them tap out, you know?
Oh, yeah, that'd be huge. That'd be huge, huge publicity.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, bro.
I know those Paul brothers, they've been kind of their own publicity machine themselves, making waves.
Yeah. I mean, hey, congratulations to him, too. You know, Logan Paul was on WrestleMania recently, right? So that's like,
yeah, that was,
you know, congratulations to him for that. That's, you know, that must have brought a lot of attention to both, you know what I'm saying, WWE and Logan Paul. So that's good to see, you know. People, you know, I guess a lot of people love him or hate him, whatever. But hey, man, at least he's, you know, helping get eyes on the product, which is always good. You know, that's always something to, you know, acknowledge.
For sure.
You know, whether people feel like to give credit or not. So, I mean, that's why I want to see if they have to step up to the plate when, you know, Charlie Haas calls them out. You know, I want to try to see what they had to say. If they go for it, if they, who knows, you know, that would be a super interesting confrontation, you know.
Just, oh, yeah.
I mean, I heard Charlie Haas out there. He's running camps for amateur wrestling. So, you know, he's active. He's still doing his thing, you know. And,
yeah, he's got the amateur background as well.
That's right. And he's definitely... Definitely, you know, a bad dude. You don't want to get him angry. I could just tell us. You look at somebody, you know, he's definitely, you know, he's definitely about that. So, want to see what happens. I'm real interested to see if they respond. You know, so.
Oh yeah, and you said you're headed back out there at the end of May.
Yeah, May 22nd. I'm going out there again, and you know, see what happens. See what goes down.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, definitely it'd be fun to see you grow. I mean, the opportunity you had even just to be on the pay-per-view in the capacity that you were. I mean, yeah, like you said, a stacked card, stacked roster, to be able to make that roster. Like you said, a few people out of the 70. Yeah, stick with it, man. Like, you got it, man. You're one of those few people that definitely got it, definitely believe in, man. Be great to see you. Breakthrough, to see, especially a promotion like that, see that next generation breaking through, taking on those vets, and the experience that you have facing these legends, and all the big names that you've faced in your career so far, definitely in that next step.
That's right, I appreciate it, my man. I'm like, you know, so doing what I can, working out, getting in shape, you know, trying to get back on that crazy, you know, everyday workout I was doing during quarantine. I was every single day doing cardio. And if, you know, doubling up sometimes, doing two cardio workouts a day. Some days I'd be doing, you know, the abs and cardio. And, you know, just trying to get back in my routine. You know, there's a couple of things that happen, you know, throughout time. Just, you know, get myself back on track. That's all I'm doing. You know, keep myself busy and trying to promote my brand as best I can. You know, it's all pretty much myself, man, out here doing the social media, the videos, everything. It's like, you know, you gotta think, man. Like, I got all this footage I'm trying to put together, see if I can come up with the videos to put up on YouTube, full matches, you know, trying to get this DVD put together, documentary of my career, and, you know, thus far, you know, it's just trying to make everything happen, and a limited amount of time, you know, there's only so much time a day. You know, I try to work out throughout some of the time, something putting on my videos. And, you know, just sometimes, you know, you got to make a little time for everything. So it's just, I'm going to, you know, take the time and use it wisely and try to, you know, get as much done as I can, you know, throughout the day. And make as much, like I've been doing about wrestling, like, you know, during quarantine, every day I was just focused on making my situation better for wrestling. And, you know, it was sometimes, you know, life's uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen next. You're not sure if there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel with this quarantine, you know, life that we're living right now. But it seems like things are starting to open back up and, you know, starting to get hope for, you know, more opportunities and more shows coming back, and just overall, just, you know, bringing back this sport, professional wrestling that we love in the capacity that we know. You know, it's like we all try to go out there and perform in front of these live crowds and being able to, like, meet the fans, you know, take the pictures and hear their stories and, you know, having them buy our shirts and things like that, the support, just seeing the joy it brings them. And, you know, you miss that when you're stuck in quarantine and, you know, you miss your friends, you miss people you know, but, you know, when you're back on the road and you don't live in that schedule, it's good to see everybody again, you know, and Texas has opened up, you know, Florida's opened up, we're going to get out there, you know. Jersey is still kind of limited. You can only have so many fans to show.
All right. So,
you know.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, great to see you get. Great to see you back out there and getting out there. And hopefully all that time and work that you've put in pays off, man. Like, it's great to see you getting these opportunities.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. I'm going to keep pushing, keep doing what I can. And, you know, just do it for the fans, do it for everybody that's been following us so far, and, you know, just supporting, you know, we're going to get there. It's only a matter of time, you know. And I'm just hyped to get out there and meet all these new fans and people that I know that, you know, want to get on board and take this huge crazy train with me, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Anything else you got coming up or anything else you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, this Saturday I'm wrestling in Opat County, New Jersey. It's going to be this ECPW Mayhem. I'm wrestling in a candlestick match / Singapore Whipping Cane match against Ray Pittman, who he cost me the ECPW Television Championship, you know, tournament, which I definitely would have won if he didn't screw me out of the, you know, opportunity. But, you know, that's why this match right here, I'm going to be out there taking a cane across his back, hitting him in the face with it, you know, just come up all types of devastating maneuvers and ways to hurt him with the kendo stick, because Now they made it legal for me to use a weapon, which I don't know what they were thinking. You know, I'm going to hurt him pretty bad. So, I mean, like, that's all I know at that point. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. So, I mean, that's coming up. I know TV is – TV is May 14th. That's going to be Friday, May 14th, and – Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. You know, speaking of the aftermath of the Singapore Open team match. So, you know, after I beat Pittman and, you know, bruise up his back with the kendo stick and all that, then we're going to see what the next step is for me getting the belt. You know, I'm going to have to get put in some kind of match where I can, you know, be going for the ECPW championship, or otherwise I'm going to cause some chaos, you know, that's the reality. So we'll see what happens this Saturday. Copacabana, New Jersey. Bell times at 7 o'clock. You know, it's gonna be at the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Actually St. Jude RC Chase. You know, they do like the benefit for the Children's Research Hospital. And then Friday,
all right,
May 14th, we're gonna be doing TV taping in Richfield Park, New Jersey, the Knights of Columbus. With Phil Sheridan Building Association, that's where I met you. And, you know, we had that ECPW TV taping there last time. So that's going to be the 14th. And then the 22nd, I'll be back out there in Texas, you know, doing my thing. So.
Awesome.
You know, I got a couple other things coming up after that. But I'm sure we can do another one of these again. You know, talk about those, you know, later on.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. I always love talking to you, chatting up, seeing what you're up to, following your career, man. It's been great. It's one of the fun things to do. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it's always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Definitely. Definitely, man. Let's do this again. Catch up again. It's been great following your career. Thanks for joining us, man. Have a good night.
Oh, you too. Thanks, bro.
Oh, yeah, that was Timothy Theory telling us about his experience down there at SWE this past weekend and seeing what he's got coming up, man. Some revenge this weekend with a kendo stick, it sounds like. Oh, yeah, like some classic pro wrestling and violence. Great to see, get to hear about his experience and getting to train down there and the different people he got the opportunity to train with and the experience and to grow like that, to grow in his career, to see all the work, like you said, that he's been putting in during quarantine and to see that pay off with these opportunities. Well, hopefully he'll get a shot of that ECPW championship. I know he's put in a lot of work over the years, sold a lot of tickets. Yeah, I see him on those flyers, and I was killing it. Those adrenaline tapings. See the long list of legends that he stepped in there with, and some of the best indie wrestlers from today. But, yeah, always a fun time talking to Timothy, a man of many hustles. I want to thank all you fans for joining us tonight. Time traveler DeLorean Diggs taking us behind his story, part two of the story. It's been a lot of fun doing this podcast. Where will it go from here? What will we do from here? Stay tuned. State of Pro Wrestling. I hope all you fans have a great night. Thank you.